Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today is November 11, 2022. It is Veterans Day, and it is also Armistice Day, which took place in World War One on the 11th month of the 11th minute of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And that is where they come to November 11, and that is Armistice Day. We will get started in just a moment. I want to remind you of a couple of things. Our website, primary website, is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book. You can type in the search the Spirit of the Church, and it's there for you to read for free, written by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and published in 2007. So it is an old book, but it is still a good primer for what it is that we do here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. We also have a lot of writing there by Rick Sterling, and he will be adding to that here very shortly. He has also, I'll do this a little out of order. Rick has been writing publishing each day, other than Friday and on Saturday, Sabbath, a op-ed length piece that I think that you will find very interesting. They're short. They only take about 5 minutes to read. And we're getting quite a good response from people in the number of people that are reading them. We have a secondary website, which is spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you're going to find lots of historical writing and biography and all of that stuff, and it's a good place to go for some extra reading. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father, for our veterans who have put their lives on the line, who have written a blank check to their country, stating that they will pay whatever price to keep their country free. Father, I pray that you will, in your mercy, bless all of them with peace and joy, and thank you for their service. Thank you, Father, for being here with us today in spirit and in truth. Thank you for taking care of us so that someday soon, we will be also considered veterans of this war and will be able to celebrate in an earth that will be so, so much better than what we have today. Thank you, Father, for the life of Jesus Christ, his words when he was here on earth, and his spirit, our mother, the Holy Spirit, right now as we learn from her the meaning of the words that Jesus brought to us. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty, let's see. Let's start with, since Larry was first to call in this morning, let's start with Larry. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm upright. I'm listening.
You're upright and listening. That's always a good thing. And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Same as Larry. Upright and ready to go.
And thank you, Don, for your service. Don is an Army vet, and we are delighted to have him in our company. All right. There you go, Rick.
Well, I was thinking that since today is the day that we honor our veterans, and is also Armistice Day, and I don't know if you know what the difference between armistice and surrender is, but armistice is cessation of the war. Basically, it says, okay, we're done fighting. Everybody just go back to your country, your home. And
well, it's the cessation of hostilities, but it doesn't, the war is not ending.
Doesn't end the war. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And later on, for instance, in World War One, it was the Treaty of Versailles that actually ended the hostilities between the major powers and basically put Germany in a place where it was untenable for them. They had no...
Well, that was on purpose.
It was on purpose, exactly.
Because the deep state has been using Germany to basically continue with wars where the bankers are the only winners. And so I thought I would talk about a cosmic war that involves the Earth. A long, long time ago, more than 7,000 years, God created this world, everything in it, on it, and above it. And that, when I say above it, I'm not talking about the universe. I'm talking about the atmosphere. And the people that he created on the sixth day were not created with the information necessary to do what they needed to do to not just survive on Earth, but to thrive. And so he sent angels. The leader of the angels, in those days, I guess, were called watchers or shepherds, and they were the teachers of the people that God had created. And this is confirmed through all of the oldest texts that have been found to date, that quote unquote beings, gods, small g, extraterrestrials came down to this earth and gave to the people the information that they needed to live and thrive on the earth. Those beings hatched a coup. They took for themselves that which was not theirs to take. They told the humans on Earth that they were their creators and their gods, and that they should be worshipped. I don't know a lot about divine law, but it seems like what's happening right now, and when I say divine law, I'm talking about the law by which God operates, the true God, the true creator. And why he didn't just immediately go to war with these insurrectionists, other than what would his created humans, flesh and blood beings, think if he appeared out of the sky and wiped out all of the insurrectionists? What would they think? How would they respond to him when he came and said, "I'm the one who is your creator. They were all lying to you." It's like what's going on in this country, the United States, right now, and has been going on for years and years, but is being brought to light at this time. And if you look deep enough into those that are attempting to subvert the democratic process and take over this country through fraud and deception, you go deep enough into their group, you will find at their core the very same beings who launched the insurrection against the true God of the universe. You may wonder, how will we be able to prevail against these powerful spiritual beings? Because there's nothing that we can do to fight against them. Ah, but there is. Not with weapons of war, artillery and guns and chemicals, bombs. In fact, God has made it very clear. And when I say God, I'm talking about the true God, one in the heavens. Like what is going on in the country right now, it is a process by which you allow the world to see what the situation is and has been for a very long time. You allow them to see it so that when the ultimate defeat of the evil one and all those who have chosen to bind themselves to him, will disappear into vapor from their into their atomic elements, they will be as if they had never existed. What God has always needed in order to win back the people of the earth is representation. Representation in the form of a kingdom. People who know the truth and hold it to the truth no matter what. And you may wonder what has taken so long. I mean, God could have done this a long time ago. And yes, he could have. And yes, he did. He created a man by which he would use this man to win the war against the evil one and his fellow insurrectionists. But you see, God could not create a man in his kingdom. The kingdom of God has always been a kingdom that we must choose to enter. Now you say, well, I choose to enter. Well, that's not what this choice involves. The choice involves not just a statement of, I want to be in your kingdom. It actually involves the act of what righteousness demands. And what righteousness demands is that you obey God's stipulation. You obey the covenant of the kingdom. You promise to keep the covenant of the kingdom. And you learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I know you are living in the world today if you are listening to this broadcast. And if you're living in the world today, you are in the kingdom of the world. That's the kingdom we are born into. And in order to leave the kingdom of the world and enter the kingdom of God, we need to learn the truth and promise to keep the covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. The testimony of the Son of God is the truth that we must learn and live by. That includes the law and the prophets. And we must promise to keep and keep the Ten Commandments. And when you do that, you are in the kingdom of God. You see, the man that God created was given one commandment. Don't ever eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. One commandment. Not hard. When you have 1,000 trees from which you can eat, not eating from one tree should not be a difficult or impossible thing. And it shouldn't have been. God told the man exactly what would happen to him if he ever ate from that tree. And the woman, the man's wife, also knew what would happen if they ever ate from that tree. That was not a hard, difficult, or impossible thing for them to do. But the serpent the serpent, the devil, the evil one, Satan, are a few of the names he goes by. He came into the garden and started a conversation with the woman. The conversation involved what God would do and what God wouldn't do. Did the man and the woman really know God, their creator?
Apparently not, and that would go along with the idea that maybe they hadn't been around very long before Satan gained access to them. Because what would cause created beings to not acknowledge their creator in that way?
It's interesting. I've heard a lot of back and forth about what happened in the garden, none of which can you find in the Bible. It's all, well, this must have gone on this way. That I've heard that God would come down to the garden in the evening and talk with them. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't say that anywhere. And that, at the very, very best, would be anecdotal. That is not proof.
Yeah, well, the woman Jezebel said that. And you know who I'm talking about. In her book, Great Controversy. So God gave the man and the woman one commandment, one. And that one commandment is what the devil used. He didn't do anything else. He didn't talk about what he could offer them or whatever. It was that one commandment. Why? Why was it the one commandment that he worked on? You see, all the man and the woman had to do was demonstrate what righteousness is. They needed to meet the one demand of righteousness, but they chose not to. Why? Well, as is recorded in Genesis 3, the woman looked at the tree and its fruit, and it looked like any other tree in the garden with fruit, and the fruit looked like it was good to eat. Was no different. And then she thought, but if I eat from this tree, I will gain the wisdom of the gods. She must have known the gods in order to know what kind of wisdom the gods have. In fact, she must have recognized the being who in Mesoamerica goes by the name Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent. The Aztecs had another name. The Chinese had another name. The Egyptians had a name for him. It was whatever the name was in their language, he was the serpent, the dragon. She must have recognized him and known that he was one of the gods. Maybe even known that he was the chief god in the land. And that if she could gain the wisdom of the gods, that might be nice to have. Why would she and her husband question their creator as to whether he was really being honest with them about what he said he would do if they ever ate from that tree? And maybe he was the bad guy. Trust. You know, I talk about trust a lot, where everybody in the Christian world talks about faith.
And I did have a quick, like a one-minute discussion with one of my customers, clients at the hardware store where I work. And he mentioned, in relationship to what's going on right now with the elections and all of that stuff, he says, we just have to have faith. And I go, I don't have any faith. I don't use faith. He goes, what? He says, yep, it's all trust. You either trust God or you don't. Well, I trust God. That's what having faith means. And I said, well, faith is something that is nebulous. Trust is something that is concrete.
You remember that statement that I coined way back when?
Faith allows a person to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability. That one?
That one. The woman had faith. And her faith was in the words of the serpent. Because if her faith was in the words of God, I don't know what she would have done. But you see, God had not had an opportunity to demonstrate what he would do in front of their eyes. But if they trusted him, their God, if they trusted their God, they would not have doubted his word. So the woman demonstrated faith in the serpent. And I don't know, you know, knowing good and evil. Now, God knows good and evil. But God did not do evil in order to learn the difference between good and evil. And the woman and the man did not need to eat from the tree to learn good and evil. By disobeying the direct command of their creator. You see, if the woman had said no, my creator said never to eat from this tree, and I will never eat from this tree. You get out of this garden and never come back. That's all. And guess what? She would have learned the difference between good and evil because she did good. She met the one demand of righteousness that was required to enter the kingdom of God. But just as later on, two, 3,000 years later, God chose a people. The offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he chose them to be his kingdom. his people. And he took them out of Egypt after demonstrating to them beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was the Almighty, the sovereign God, because he showed that the gods, small g, of Egypt were not gods at all. They were just spiritual beings with supernatural power. And he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Now, you know, some people speculate as to why he didn't just take them out of Egypt into the promised land. Why did he bring them into the wilderness? Well, we all need to be in the wilderness. The wilderness is not a bad place. In fact, the wilderness would be tantamount to the garden before the serpent showed up. And what did God do in the wilderness? Well, he gave them the covenant of the kingdom. This time it wasn't, there will be many trees in the promised land and you can eat from any of them, but the one that is in Jerusalem, you are not to eat from. Yes, I know. Jerusalem didn't exist at the time. He gave them 10 laws, called it the covenant. And he said, this covenant is a testimony. In fact, they put it in the Ark of the Testimony, a golden box. And he said, this covenant will be a witness, and I will be a witness. If you keep the covenant, you are in the kingdom. If you keep the covenant, you are in the kingdom. And they promised to keep the covenant. But I believe it was on the same day that they promised to keep the covenant, that night they broke it. God has needed a kingdom on earth before he could defeat and destroy the kingdom of the evil one, the kingdom of the world. And all the prophecies attest to this. The prophets were telling the people that they were not getting serious about keeping the covenant of the kingdom. And this went on to the point where the king, the anointed one, the Messiah, he came to begin a whole new chapter in the kingdom of God. And that is that he was informing the leadership of Israel that they were no longer tasked with the responsibility of bringing about the kingdom of God on earth. because they had proved untrustworthy to do this. And he informed them that it was going to be opened up to anyone who would meet the requirements to enter the kingdom. He did not change the requirements to make it easier to enter. That would not be like God at all. He just said that the kingdom is open to anyone who will meet the requirements to enter. And that's where we are right now today. In Revelation 12, if you want to turn there to Revelation 12, starting with verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in the heavens, a woman. A woman. Adorned with the sun, standing on the moon, and with the 12 stars on her head for a crown. Now, I believe that crown is diadema crown, but I'm not sure. It might be the Stephanos crown, but I think it's a diadema crown.
Well, a diadem indicates royalty.
And she is a queen, okay? Now, we know she is a queen because she gives birth. We'll read about that. We know she is a spiritual being because she's in the heavens.
And by the way, the fact that she is giving birth is today a politically incorrect idea.
Well, maybe to you.
Well, not to me.
She is a spiritual being. She is a woman spiritual being. She's clothed with the light of the sun, the light from the east. In other words, she's clothed with the truth. She must be the queen of the kingdom of light. Now, the 12 stars must represent the 12 tribes. Now, here's the thing about the tribes and the kingdom. Many people would say, well, if it represents Israel, then they're all Israelites. No. The name Israel is interesting and significant. So if you turn to Genesis, and I'll have to find this real quick. You can read starting at verse 10. I'm not going to read it. This is where Jacob wrestles with the spiritual being, angel. All night, most of the night. The angel, what it looks like is the angel didn't really dislocate his hip socket, but tweaked his sciatic nerve so that he couldn't stand. And I know what that is because my sciatic nerve gives me issues every once in a while, and I know how that is. But his name was changed after that battle, wrestle, whatever you want to call it, to Israel. And if you look at the meaning of the word Israel, and I'm going to see if I have it here, as to what it is best translated at, as meaning is, may God show his strength or demonstrate his strength. Because it typically is translated as who struggles with God and prevails. But that's, from what I understand, that's not the best translation of it. So, may God demonstrate his strength. And that really applies here. The word may is interesting. Do you know what the word may means?
Possible.
Allowed,
yeah.
Allowed. You've played the game Mother May I?
Not in a long time.
Not in a long time, but I'm sure you did at one point in your youth. May God show his strength. And that's really, I think, a very accurate translation of the word. So back to Revelation 12. The crown of 12 stars. The kingdom has always been divided into 12 tribes. But I know for sure that just because you were an Israelite, you were not automatically in the kingdom as a member of one of the 12 tribes. But when you enter the kingdom by meeting the demands of righteousness, you enter into one of the tribes in the kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, though. By the way, it is a spiritual kingdom. I mean that you don't enter the kingdom by walking through a gate somewhere on the face of this earth. You, any more than the man and the woman, would have entered the kingdom of God if they had not eaten from the tree by going somewhere else. They were in the garden, and the garden was a separate place from the rest of the world. When they disobeyed God, they were expelled from the garden. Just like when Israel disobeyed God and they were expelled from the promised land. So she's clothed with the sun. She's standing on the moon with 12 stars on her head for a crown. Sun and the moon. The moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon is also a feminine symbol. The moon is also represented as a basin, a water basin, which is a feminine symbol for the womb and cleansing. And there were two items of furniture in the outer court of the temple And the outer court of the temple represented the cleansing process that takes place on earth before you enter the temple. These two items of furniture were a bronze altar. By the way, both were bronze. A bronze altar and a bronze laver, which was a basin full of water. The priests would wash in the basin, and then they would put on their holy garments before they would go into the temple. There's a fire cleansing and a water cleansing. In fact, they are the two cleansings that the Son of God told Nicodemus that one must do before they enter the kingdom. Worship in the temple. One is a feminine symbol and one is a masculine symbol. The altar is a masculine symbol because it has four horns. And interestingly enough, the bronze for all the bronze articles of furniture and the rings for the drapes, etc., etc., it could come from any bronze that they had. But Moses was instructed that the bronze for the laver was to be made from the bronze mirrors of the holy women who served the men during the construction of the wilderness tabernacle. Now, by serving the men, what I mean is they would make their meals for them, take care of any that might, you know, have received a wound or something. They served at the gate of the tent of meeting and the tabernacle. And Moses was instructed to use their mirrors for the bronze for the laver. We also know that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives birth to the righteous. The Son of God told Nicodemus, except you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So this woman is the one Spirit who gives birth to the righteous. Then a second sign appeared in the sky, a huge red dragon which had seven heads and 10 horns. And each of the seven heads crowned with a coronet. And the dragon stopped in front of the woman as she was having the child so that he could eat it as soon as it was born from its mother. The woman brought a male child into the world, the son who was to rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And the child was taken straight up to God and his throne, while the woman escaped into the desert or wilderness, where God had made a place of safety for her. Why does the woman need a safe place? Let's continue. And now war broke out in the heavens when Michael and his angels attacked the dragon. The dragon fought back with his angels, but they were defeated and driven out of the heavens. The great dragon, the primeval serpent, known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived the whole world.
Dr. Don would like to say something. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, a few minutes ago when you mentioned the labor was made out of the mirrors, I didn't know that until just a few years ago, and I found that to be an amazing thing. And I would be so bold to suggest right at about 100% of pastors and leaders of the flock do not know that. So Dennis, I don't have my Bible here with me, but Dennis, at your fingertips, could you give that text before we end where it blatantly states that that metal for the labor was made from the mirrors?
I'll find it.
Because I brought that up and people look at you like, where'd you find that? Even pastors. I think that's a major point. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Take note that it says here in this text, the devil has deceived all the world. It doesn't say that the devil has deceived everyone but those who have faith in God.
And by the way, sorry it took me so long, Exodus 38:8, that's the text.
Exodus 38:8, the text for the bronze mirrors. If you think the devil hasn't deceived you, well, then you're just proving that he has. Then I heard a voice shout from the heavens, "Victory and power and empire forever have been won by our God and all authority for his anointed. Now that the persecutor who accused our brothers day and night before our God has been brought down, they have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the witness of their martyrdom, because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. Let the heavens rejoice and all who live there. But for you, earth and sea, trouble is coming, because the devil has gone down to you in a rage, knowing that his days are numbered." As soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman. Wait a minute. Why did he go after the woman? He's still going after the woman. He was here in front of the woman to gobble up her son. Now he's after the woman. Why is he after the woman?
Because the woman is truth. And as long as truth is around, he will lose.
As long as she is around,
right,
God still has the chance for a
kingdom on earth. Exactly.
The mother of the male child. But she was given a huge pair of eagle's wings to fly away from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she was to be looked after. It gives a time frame here, year, 2 years, half a year. So the serpent vomited water from his mouth like a river after the woman, to sweep her away in the current. But the earth came to her rescue. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river, thrown up by the serpent's jaws. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the rest or the last of her offspring, her children. That is, now take note of this, all who obey God's commandments, that's the covenant of the kingdom, and hold to the testimony of the Son of God.
And parenthetically, I almost always add only to that, hold only to the words of Jesus, because what happens is, as you are well aware, Rick, people say, well, this person over here is my pastor. He speaks for God because he's a godly man. See what I'm saying? They will claim authority for the words of God on behalf of lots of people who don't have it. And how do you know someone is speaking the words of God, the words of Jesus? Because they're quoting him.
That's right. And the woman is still here. And the woman has started to give birth. There are those of her children now who are in the kingdom. The kingdom of the world is about ready to be destroyed. The rock is about ready to smash that great image, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. These are the days of those kings, the last days for the kingdom of the world, the days of Elijah.
Thanks, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We encourage you to go to our Log Talk Radio website, where you will find an archive of more than 1,400 of these programs, and you can look back and listen again to those. We encourage you to let other people know about this broadcast and this podcast, because this is the only place that we know of that is giving you this kind of information in conjunction with what is going on in the world today. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time, tomorrow on the 12th, for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.